Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Now here's the host of the Monday Night Sports Show, Ben Murphy.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome and thank you for joining me on the Monday Night Sports Show on your 590 VOCM and Labrador's Bigland FM. I'm your host, Ben Murphy, and we have Mr. Zach Snow back behind the glass and producing the show tonight for the very first time, completely solo. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Ben. Doing good. We have a loaded show ahead of us tonight.
Yep, so we're busy.
Yeah, so why are we wasting time?
Let's get to it. Welcome to the program. All right.
Thank you so much, Ben.
We're not going to waste any time at all, but as they are each and every week here on the Monday Night Sports Show, the phone lines are wide open, and we're taking calls for the next 2 hours. All you have to do is call Zach at 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626, 1-888-590-VOCM, and we'll get you on the air to talk about anything in the world of sports that you would like. So again, phone lines wide open for the next 2 hours, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-VOCM, and if you have any questions or anything you want to chat about, you can also tweet at me at Ben Murphy VOCM and join in on the conversation. VOCM Monday Night Sports Show is brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles, located at 250 Water Street. They've got everything for the sports fan. Maverick is your local expert when it comes to sports apparel and memorabilia. They carry the NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL, and soccer. They've got signed sports cards, pictures, memorabilia, t-shirts, hats, hoodies and jackets, jerseys, sports figurines, and everything for you to support your local teams, including the St. John's Edge and our Newfoundland Growlers. We will hear from Andrew Corbett down at Maverick a little later in the program, as we do every week, and he'll give us all of what's new down at the shop at 250 Water Street. And we also have St. John's Edge Game 3 of the NBL Canada Finals underway as we speak, so we will give you live updates on that one throughout the night with the help of producer Mr. Zach Snow. So thank you, Zach. But now, as Zach said, we will not waste any time at all. I'm happy to bring my first guest of the evening back on the program. And folks, if you have any questions for this man over the next half an hour or so, feel free to give us a call and join in on the conversation, like we said. But my man, the incredible voice behind your Newfoundland Growlers, Mr. Chris Ballard, welcome back to the Monday Night Sports Show and welcome back to the studio.
Ben, always happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you're coming in off a late night off the road trip, but it was a good road trip in all.
No, it definitely was. The Growlers in the Eastern Conference Final, continuing their incredible inaugural season playoff run here, and went into Estero, Florida against the ECHL affiliates of the Carolina Hurricanes. That's the Florida Everblades. They were the first place team in the Eastern Conference out of the regular season, reigning Eastern Conference champions, a goal away from the Kelly Cup a year ago that was won by the Colorado Eagles. So this was a real high-end team,
yep.
And the Growlers came to play, winning a real tight one in game one at Hertz Arena. Michael Gartag, the big shutout and goal, 2-0 victory in game one. And then the very next night, this was just this past Saturday night,
yep.
Right back at Hertz Arena again, and this time it was all Growlers. 4 goals in the second period, an empty netter in the third to win it 5-1. Again, another great performance between the pipes by Gartag. 5 different goal scorers. Really just the depth of the team came to play. And really exciting to be able to take this series now back home to Mile One, starting with Game 3 here on Wednesday night. I'm absolutely pumped. Cannot wait.
Yeah, huge. To grab 2 wins like that on the road to start out the conference finals, like, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, for sure. And you go into a series like that, you know, to kick it off saying, okay, well, let's see if we can get a split and then bring it home for so many. You almost try to plot it out mentally in your head.
Absolutely.
How you could, like, maybe piece together a series victory. And, you know, I don't think, I mean, obviously your most rosy expectation would be, oh yeah, well, if we win 2, well, they went and actually proved it to themselves and to everybody in the ECHL that, you know, the Growlers are for real, and this team is as good as they've been all season long, looking to carry forth to the first pro championship, knock on wood, maybe in you know, in Newfoundland and Labrador pro sports, pro hockey history here. So lots on the line, you know, coming up here on Wednesday night. I know, I'm the exact same way, having grown up here and watched hockey, and, you know, all the way through the Maple Leafs and Ice Caps eras. It's been an absolutely thrilling ride to be able to share these moments with the fans here at home.
Yeah, and that 5-1 win was a really commanding win, like you said, and it showed the depth. And Florida actually got on the board first.
Yeah, they did.
And the boys bounced back with four unanswered goals. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, and it was a tight first period. The Everblades carried that 1-0 lead into the intermission, and whatever head coach John Snowden fed to the boys in the locker room after 20 minutes, they came out flying. One of those goals they came out with was a power play goal, and Florida had the best penalty kill in the ECHL leading into that at 94% or something. That's like ridiculously good on the penalty kill, and they managed to fight their way through it. And, you know, goals of all kinds. Scott Pooley scored on a real nice rebound on a 2-on-1. Marcus Power in tight, kind of a garbage goal on the power play. J.J. Pickenich got his first of the postseason on a beauty 2-on-1. All off the rush. Kessner beat their goaltender Callum Booth low on a rush. Really, the speed and the skill of this team has really carried it through these first two games. It's been really special.
And Callum Booth's a great goaltender, too.
Yeah, no joke. The Growlers faced him four times in the regular season, obviously not with Florida. He was with Reading for a little while. And Callum Booth went 3-1 against Newfoundland and really stole a few games away for Reading when they came here around, I think it was in December. So they knew that they were going to be in tough against a really good netminder and just found a way. And this Booth kid came in with silly numbers himself, too. Sub-2 goals against average, something dumb like a .960 save percentage. Yeah. Just absolutely absurd. But and if you think of it, too, in the first two rounds, the Growlers had to face hot goaltenders, too. Brampton's Etienne Marcoux, I think, still leads the ECHL in save percentage. Mm-hmm. Like, that kid stole them those games. And then, against Charles Williams against Manchester. So the Growlers are ready to beat whatever goaltender comes their way as it stands right now. And they've proven that with 7 goals against Callum Booth in the first two games. It's really, like, not that I've ever discounted this team at any stretch, but they're impressing even me, and I've seen all 80 plus of their games they've played all year. They're peaking at the right time.
And game two got a bit chippy.
It did. It started in the first period when, for my money, and this is not a knock against the officials, but I thought there was a couple of things that got out of hand, a couple of calls that maybe went missed where the players took it upon themselves to have to police certain situations. At least that's how I saw it in the booth. And I'm a homer, so I'm going to call it like I see it. And then in the third period when the game got out of hand on the scoreboard side of things, that's when Florida... Again, in my opinion, I mean, go ahead and watch it on ECHL TV if you want to see it all for yourself. But they started taking runs at Gartag, trying to knock him off his game. And, you know, the Everblades took 10 minutes in penalties against pretty much solely against Michael Gartag, trying to knock him off his game because he's been absolutely lights out. So that did lead to some pushing and shoving. And yes, a handful of guys got tossed out at the end of the game. But really, all of it happened with under 90 seconds to go in the game is when all the goals had been scored. It was 5-1 for Newfoundland at that point. And I think that was the easiest way for the referees to just say, all right, I'm going to get rid of all the troublemakers. Let's get through the last couple minutes here and, see you all in game three. It definitely did get a little chippy, but that just goes to show the compete level for both sides here and the skill on both sides, really getting underneath each other's skins. Game three is going to be absolutely bumping back here at mile one.
Yeah, you can count on it. And, you know, again, like two wins on the road again, and the boys have been finding a way to get it done on the road all year. What do you think it's been that's kind of really clicking for the guys to continue to get it done away from the Wild One?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it comes with just general preparedness for this hockey team. With the travel, I mean, some teams, for example, in this league, you know, their weekend travel is a 3-hour bus ride to where they're in-state rivals, and you're back in your own bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, which is, that's a pipe dream for the Growlers. But because of that, because the Growlers have to travel so much, but they've done it so much to the point now where it's just another day in the office. So they've been really, the transition to be able to go out onto the road for this hockey club and still compete and find your groove, the Growlers are used to that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's you're going to Manchester, New Hampshire, you're going into Florida to play these tough road games. These guys are used to that routine and that grind, and they're ready to play. Their preparedness from the coaching staff through the training staff, they're ready to go on any given night. And, that plus obviously the talent that's on this team,
of course,
speaks for itself in these road situations. So, they're a young team. They I think initially there might have been some questions like, oh, a lot of these college grads, for example, may not have been used to playing 80 games of hockey a season. But you know what? You know, their desire and, you know, their willingness to do all the right things has really led to a lot of success on the road and at home.
Yeah, and now we do switch home, and a prime opportunity to take a serious stranglehold, 3-0 lead in this series. What do you think are, from your eyes, the keys for the guys to get the job done?
I mean, the Growlers are 5-1 here at home in the postseason. I think that in and of itself, I think that speaks for itself, to be quite honest. They know that in front of their hometown crowd and again, sleeping in their own beds and you know, like falling into that routine that has led to success leading up to this moment will hopefully lead to some further success, you know, as the series turns back here to St. John's. And yeah, I think they're ready. They're just, that's it. It's just, they've proven it to themselves time and time again. And at home, with the X factor of obviously being in front of the hometown fans, I think that's all you need. And plus, the way the series format goes, it's a 2-3-2.
Yeah.
You start with two, in this case on the road. This would be the only team in the playoffs that is remaining against whom the Growlers would not have home ice advantage.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. So two to start the series on the road in Florida. Three straight now coming up at mile one.
Especially grabbing those
three. Because I always said I hate home ice advantage, how that works. Because if you get home ice advantage, but say lose one of the two you have at home, well, then you go in the opposition building for three straight with a chance to really get put back on your heels. But the Growlers turned that around by winning both on the road and now have an absolutely massive opportunity to get the job done. And and really, our kind of call to action is really we want to get mile one absolutely bumping, especially on Wednesday, because a 2-1 series is a heck of a lot different than a 3-0 series.
Man.
You know, to borrow, I guess, kind of a bit of a violent sounding analogy, but to really put, you know, put the gauntlet down and the foot on the throat of
the
opposition.
Let's go.
That's really what you want to do is have everyone in the house for game three on Wednesday. And that's, I always plead to people on the broadcast, you got nothing going on Wednesday night. Like, get behind this team. They're really in the middle of an incredible season. Of sport in general. How often do you really get the opportunity to really be a part of something as cool as an inaugural team going this deep here at home in the awesome province of Newfoundland and Labrador? We're all crying for a championship in this city. Let's get down there. And it really does make a difference if you have that place rocking.
So 100%.
Wednesday night, let's go.
Everyone knows what the atmosphere is like down at the Mile One when it's rocking, and there's nothing better. Seriously, there's nothing better, and we do absolutely, because like you said, what a difference it does make, because like we were chatting about just before we even came on the program, like there's when you go to Manchester and you might have, you know, 1,500, 1,200 people in the stands.
It does. Sold. It impacts the players on the ice that more than I think they're given credit for. It really is that whole X factor. And look at some of the teams that really, in sports in general, that have so many the fans on their sides, like the Seattle Seahawks and the NFL. That truly is the 13th man or whatever. I'm not a big football guy. I could be entirely the wrong number for all I know. But you know what I'm getting at, though,
I know,
right?
It
really can be a factor on the ice. And, you know, the Growlers are in a position now where that could be the real difference in taking that 3-0 lead and taking control of this series.
Absolutely. Well, we'll take a quick timeout, and then we'll continue this conversation right after this.
Call now 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. The Monday Night Sports Show will be right back.
The Monday Night Sports Show is brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles, 250 Water Street. Everything for the sports fan.
All right, welcome back to the Monday Night Sports Show, everybody. I'm your host, Ben Murphy, and I am joined here live in studio with Newfoundland Growlers broadcaster, Mr. Chris Ballard. And right now, in the third quarter, the Moncton Magic are leading the St. John's Edge 55-48 in Game 3 at this point right now. But we're going to continue our conversation focused on the Newfoundland Growlers. But like we talked about goaltending quite a bit there in the first little segment. And goaltending is always important at any level, but in the ECHL, even a little bit more, because you see such great goaltenders come through that league. And like you said, Gartig's been phenomenal, and the three goalies you've been up against so far also have been great. But how truly important is goaltending to going on a deep run?
I mean, look at any hockey championship that's ever been won, and name me a team that did that with average goaltending. Yeah, yeah, it's imperative to have it at this stage of the game. And Gartag has gotten steadily better for the Growlers in each and every game that he's played. He's played every single game of the postseason so far. Against Brampton, had a couple of games on the road there that were really tough for him. And since then, I it's just been a steady climb. Now he's got, I don't have his numbers in front of me, but his save percentage and goals against have, you know, they're among the league leaders now, and as they should be and almost have to be at this stage. And no one is surprised at what Michael's been able to do at this level. He did it in college, you know, having won all the accolades he did there, and still now really now finding his footing as a professional goaltender. And hopefully the sky's the limit for him after the season, and hopefully he'll be doing, you know, doing so with a Kelly Cup championship under his belt. Really, he's been, and even if it wasn't Michael Gartag, this team has two other goaltenders who are able to steal in you games. Eamon McAdam, who played a lot in the American League this year. The only reason he's not playing is because Gartz has been absolutely outstanding. It really is the best 1-2 punch in the ECHL for my money. And not to knock our, we have a third string goaltender who's also phenomenal, is Eric Levine, who fans may remember. He's only played sparingly for the club, but also against the Growlers with the Fort Wayne Comets earlier in the season, absolutely stole them a game. He's been awesome and a great teammate to boot. So take any three of those guys, and the Growlers are going to be set between the pipes in this and any series that they play. Yeah. It's been that good for the club.
Who on our team has really impressed you all season long and now into playoffs?
I think you're baiting me for my answer because I think you know who it's going to be.
I think so.
It's Zach O'Brien is one of the best hockey players I've ever seen play at this level. And I'm not saying that because he's a Newfoundlander and because he plays for the Growlers. I'm saying that with the 4 years that I've been in the ECHL, the way that he is the most competitive player on the ice every single night with the skill set that he possesses. And it's a bonus that he's a townie and he plays for his hometown team. But he had that hat trick in game 6 to lock it down against Manchester. Like, the kid is clutch. He was on a 6-game goal scoring streak up until game 1. No, he scored in game 1. It was game 2. Mm-hmm. Well, on Saturday when that was broken in a 5-1 win, he's a team guy too. He doesn't have to do it all himself, but the way that he's able to just consistently elevate his game and surprise me with his sneaky skill, his release is incredible. And the chemistry that he has on that line right now with Marcus Power, who he's played with forever. Brady Ferguson's been an unbelievable compliment between those two. And they've just hit the ground running. But Zach is really the catalyst. He's tied for the league lead in playoff goals. He has 11 goals in the playoffs already. You're laughing because it's hilarious. This doesn't normally happen at this stage. But he's doing it. He's making it happen. And he's really making us all proud, you know, with the Growlers. And, you know, everyone in Newfoundland and Labrador should be proud as well. Because what he's doing is very special in terms of finding that success for your hometown team. Inaugural season. This is Hollywood level stuff for my money. And I really want people to come out and see it for themselves. It really is something special. Like, I know I'm obviously emotional about it, but everyone else should be too. I really want everyone to buy in here.
Yeah, and the way he carries himself too. You know, he's so quiet. He's so poised all the time. He just doesn't break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he just carries that each and every game, and it's unreal to watch.
Seem to get stressed out. You're right. He's so even keel. He'd be like, what are you at, Pally? on a game 7 or game 1 of the preseason. Yeah. His demeanor is just so calm and cool, but once the puck is dropped and it's all game time, it's all on the line for him, and he just elevates his play. It's so fun to watch.
What about guys outside of, like, Zach O'Brien, Marcus Power, and some of these, like, leading scorers? What about these depth guys? Who has surprised you there?
Yeah, I mean, nobody. Nobody surprises me in terms of what they're able to do at this level. That being said, at this point, just looking at the forward group here, I mean, the depth is really what's been carrying this team. It appears as if Florida has kind of understood, hey, we should probably keep an eye on this O'Brien fella. He's pretty okay. But that has allowed some of the other players on this team to really shine. Josh Kessner, he scored a beautiful goal on the rush the other night, just buried it 5-hole against Booth, and really was able to showcase his speed and his skill. Giorgio Estefan is having a fantastic postseason. Really, he started off the year real hot, kind of struggled to find his game, and I hate even saying the word struggled. Managed to hit 20 goals late and really turned it on now in the postseason. So many guys. Darian Plouffe does it at both ends. Yeah. He's a great penalty killer. You know, good team guy. JJ Pickenich has been playing the quote unquote 10th forward line. He had his first goal in Game 5 on a great 2-on-1.
Huge.
Scott Pooley scored 1-2. I mean, I don't want to say everybody because I might miss somebody, but the fact of the matter is, yeah, beyond the O'Brien and that top unit, everybody else has been given a chance to shine, especially in this series with teams, again, catching on to what Zach's been able to accomplish on the ice. But on any shift, on any night, any of these guys can go out and score you two and take control of a game. And that's really going to be imperative down the stretch here for the Growlers. That depth is going to be key.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with like you said, you know, the 10th forward, not the 13th.
That's right, yeah. Right. Compared to, say, you're absolutely right. That's a great point. So an ECHL roster typically consists of, on ice every night, 10 forwards and 60.
Yeah.
That's only 16 skaters for 60 minutes of hockey. You have to have your best players be your most versatile players,
absolutely,
too. So you see guys like Zach O'Brien, for example, who are obviously cutting-edge offensive players, you see them out blocking shots on the penalty kill, and you see guys like Darian Plouffe and JJ Pickenich, who are your bread and butter, like tough, lock it down guys. You see them jumping in with so many great offensive opportunities at the same time, and everyone has to really play every role, and these guys play a really connected style of hockey. Everyone is in tune with one another, whether it's, you know, your top end guys. I don't even like kind of saying top end guys, they're all top end guys, but everyone really seems to have bought in on both ends of the ice, and it sounds like a cliche, but
that's what you need to win.
And when that happens, that's why the Growlers are now in the middle of the Eastern Conference Final with a chance to hopefully, you know, move on to the next round.
Yeah.
It's really unbelievable.
And speaking of the next round, Toledo and Tulsa, now in the other conference, there are the other two teams left. Toledo up 2-0. And I know we never want to get ahead of ourselves,
because
we do still have two big games to win.
No, for sure.
But looking at those two teams, how do you feel about the Growlers going forward?
I same as it's been through these first three rounds of the postseason, I feel like the Growlers, their youth and their speed and their energy matches up. The Growlers are the youngest team in the ECHL. They were all year by a fair margin, from my understanding. And I think that's going to carry through against both of those Tulsa and Toledo teams, from my understanding, are veteran teams. Guys who have had great careers in the ECHL and have really flourished and found games here. But the fact of the matter is, I think this youth movement coming from the Growlers and the speed may be too much for some of these teams to handle. Toledo in particular, they're up 2-0 in that series over Tulsa. And I had the opportunity while we were waiting on a flight delay yesterday to actually watch Game 2 of that, which was nice, in the airport during our million-hour delay. And, you know, they're a real good team, Toledo. Their building is a tough one to play in. I've visited that building before, and their fans really, you know, get behind them and make that an intimidating place to play. Plus, they're a skilled hockey team who's always around the top of the Western Conference in the ECHL. So if indeed they are the ones to emerge, you know, after going up 2-0 in their series, it would be a fun matchup. Toledo, Ohio, just outside Detroit. Not too far if any Growler fans are looking ahead to maybe plan a trip to the finals. Hopefully that's the case. But no, it's like you said, I hate getting too far ahead of the game. But I mean, if we were to, you know, be betting men, and we're projecting ahead, then that would be a fun matchup, certainly.
And now, I don't know if you know this offhand, but has a team ever won the Kelly Cup in its inaugural season?
It's because the ECHL, over the course of its history, has absorbed other teams at different points from other leagues that have kind of amalgamated into this one super double A hockey league.
Yeah.
It's tough to say, but the Growlers can definitely make their mark in the ECHL and hockey record books with a victory here in their inaugural season. I think there were some teams that had joined from previous leagues and won the championship in their first season. I do think that's happened. I think the Allen Americans, when they joined from the Central League, I believe, just jumped right to the top of the heap right away because they'd been doing such great things, you know, in their previous league that they had been a part of. But either way, all of that removed from this scenario, what the Growlers have accomplished here as a true expansion club in the first year of existence is truly remarkable.
And now, on a personal note, I got to ask you, because you got to come home now and broadcast here at the Mile One for your hometown team, for your home people.
Yeah.
Like, what's the experience been like to this point?
Absolutely incredible. I have to say that. The broadcast numbers that we get now, I've seen the outpouring of support for this hockey club, and for me being the one to corral that message to the masses has been absolutely unbelievable. Getting to call, obviously the ones that are going to stick out the most for me call-wise are those overtime winners. The Growlers have already scored three or four OT winners in the postseason. Me and Brian Rogers going absolutely ballistic on the air every single time. And, you know, those are memories that hopefully live on, you know, not just for myself in my career, but for the fans who are along for this this ride with us. It's been, you know, I've been doing what I can to stay engaged and pass that along to the fans here at home in Newfoundland and Labrador. And I'm glad to hear that some people are enjoying that ride indeed.
Well, Chris Ballard, thank you so much for joining me here in the studio tonight. It's always a pleasure having you on the program because I like what you're saying. We could do this for over an hour, and we're going to.
I think we should.
Point. Yeah, we're going to.
Game
sure.
3, Wednesday. Alan Doyle is singing the anthem. $1 from each ticket goes to the Dollar a Day Foundation. Auctioning off game-worn jerseys, silent auction, all the reasons in the world, boom, plus a darn good hockey game. You're not going to regret it.
Do you have any more? Do you need any more reason to go to the mall one Wednesday? Not. Absolutely not.
Let's go.
Let's go. So, Chris, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick timeout, and then we'll be right back right after this.
Call now 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. The Monday Night Sports Show will be right back. This is the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Big Land Radio Network.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, and another big thank you to Growlers broadcaster Chris Ballard for joining me in studio tonight. Always so great, and he always brings it to the table and gets me on my feet. I can't help it. He brings the noise. So, and again, Wednesday night down at the Mile One. But, Zach, you've got an updated score from the Edge game, correct?
Yes, we certainly do, Mr. Murphy. The St. John's Edge have now taken the lead, and it's the end of the third quarter. It is 73-70 for the St. John's Edge.
Okay.
In a very, very pivotal game, they are down 2-0, and they need this game bad, or to me, in my opinion, I think they're done.
Yeah, it's been pretty back and forth so far. Just judging by some of the scores you were texting me throughout, it's back and forth. Edge taking the lead, Moncton taking the lead, 68-66, and then the Edge bounce them back. So it's back and forth right now. But speaking of our St. John's Edge, and following all that Growlers talk, it's time to give the boys a little bit of love. But I did have the pleasure of heading down to the Edge post-practice media availability ahead of tonight's pivotal game 3, as just mentioned. So we did some post-practice medium scrums with the man himself, Mr. Carl English, Junior Cadogan, who is making his grand return to the lineup tonight, not a big deal, and head coach Steve Marcus. And it was led by Edge Communications Manager Noah Anderson, who is just the best. And a big shout-out to Noah for all he does to help me with this show. So I can't thank him enough for all that. So you'll hear some other voices in there as well with some questions from those guys. But here are those pregame interviews from just a little earlier today. Take it away, Zach.
All right, here with Carl English and for St. John's Edge. Carl, welcome back to St. John's. It's the NBL Canada Finals. First time bringing that here to St. John's. What's the feeling like for yourself and personally? How proud are you of this team getting this far?
It's been an amazing year with everything we suffered from injuries and transactions and changes. I mean, for us to be here in the finals is a great accomplishment. The support from the city has been amazing. For me personally, my family, the guys, I mean, they feel so much love from everybody. And now it's time to take care of business. I mean, we let two slip away, I feel, in Moncton. But it's always nice when you're back at home. So I expect a great crowd tonight. I know the energy from the guys is great. And, I mean, we were up 2-0 against KW, and they came back and made it a series. So we plan on doing the same and taking that positive energy from the crowd and just running with it tonight.
Definitely. And one more thing. Junior Cadogan activated yesterday back in the lineup. Big move there. Veteran presence. What does Junior bring to the team?
Junior's a warrior. I mean, he's come back like all of us. I came back a month early. He's come back a few weeks early. So, you know, you bring whatever you can to the table right now to help your team win because it is the finals. So Junior brings that energy. He's a true veteran when he's, you know, where he's been, and just that warrior mentality of fight. And, you know, he's going to, you know, give us that extra energy tonight as well. So we're great to have him back, and hopefully he'll have a bit of rhythm. It's tough to come back when you've been out for a while.
It definitely is. And, of course, playing in front of the Mile One faithful, our sixth player here at Mile One Center. Just a little bit about the fans and how supportive they've been all season.
Oh, it's been fabulous. Last year was for the first time, you know, having basketball here in the province was amazing. And, you know, I've spent my whole career for over 20 years away, and to come back and then for have them even stronger this year, it's been amazing. And, you know, it's always nice to play at home, and it's that extra feeling when you're down and out, they pick you up. So tonight we need them loud as ever. It's normal, and this is the playoffs, and this is the first time the championship's been here, and it's not over yet. So it's time to roll now.
Definitely. Thanks for your time, Carl.
Okay.
Carl, what are the keys to coming away with a win here tonight at home?
Keys, we got to be aggressive. We got to continue to fight. You know, we were controlling most of these games on the road. The hardest part for us now is adjusting without the bigs. I mean, when you're missing Glenn and you're missing Olu, it's a big part of what we do because we, you know, they set screens for the shooters, especially for me. And, you know, we have a great inside-out game and two-man game with these guys. So for us, adjusting to that will be the key, and that's where we got sluggish in the last two games without those guys. So we just made some adjustments there then, and hopefully tonight I think it's going to be pretty fast-paced up and down and get after it.
And now, against Moncton particularly, you've had leads late into the games, yeah. And then they've slipped away from 8, 10, 12, 0 runs there in the last few minutes. How do you look to get past that and close out the win?
We got to continue to execute, and that's what we were working on. Without a true big in the game, it allows the defense to kind of do whatever they want because we're not putting pressure on the inside. So a big thing for us is we can't just stand still now without those guys and let guys go one-on-one. So a big thing for us is we got to continue to run our offense, continue to set screens, whether that's by a guard or not. You got to continue to execute and then find the mismatches and exploit them. So we can't really break away from what's got us here, even though we don't got traditional bigs in the game, and that's been our downfall.
You mentioned that you did come back a month early from injury. How are you feeling?
If you want to know honestly, I'm pretty drugged up right now. I twisted my ankle pretty bad last game. That's all part of it. I know I don't got many left, so I'm going to do whatever I can, and tonight will be a special night. I'm just going to try to enjoy the moment. It's a lot of pressure to win, and, you know, that's part of it. You know, my thumb, obviously, when you're wearing anything on your hand, it messes up the way you handle the ball, the way you shoot. But, you know, there's no excuses. I'm gonna give it my all and do everything I can, and tonight we need that win.
Carl, how do you do it? Battling it's, through those injuries, keep going every night.
If you saw what I did yesterday, you'd have an understanding. So maybe when it's all over, I'll let you in on some of the secrets. But when you wake up in the morning and you can't walk, it's pretty painful. But it's, you know, like I don't want any excuses. I've been doing this now. This is my 18 years of pro. So, you know, I eat right. I sleep right. Everybody's talking about the Raptor game. Well, I was asleep last night at 9:50. So, you know, right now all I'm focused on is the moment. And the hardest part for me since I came back home is just trying to enjoy the moment, enjoy it for what it is and have fun. And I talked to one of my mentors this morning, and that's what he told me. He said, you got to enjoy where you are. You got to enjoy the moment. You got to enjoy the crowd. You got to enjoy being home in Newfoundland. And that's what I'm kind of doing. And then when you do that, hopefully success comes with that. So you're always going to count on me to fight, scrappy, do whatever I can. And tonight ain't going to be no different. So we'll find a way.
And just lastly, what's the message to the team?
The same thing. Like I was just trying to tell them then, it's no time to be down. It's no time to be out. We're all battling with a bunch of nicks and bruises and bangs and twists and, you know, a lot of serious injuries. But, you know, now it's, you know, there's, what, 9 days left till the last game. So, you know, you got to find a way. You got to dig deep and enjoy it. You know, last year we were real upset that we didn't make the finals. Now we're here. Lost the first two, but it ain't no biggie. You got to win four. So you got to have that winner mentality. You still got to have that, you know, that fight and that grit and that toughness. And, you know, if you go out and you lay it all out on the floor and you don't get what you want, well, you still should be happy with yourself. So that's what I want. I don't want no regrets now with this last stage of everything. And, you know, if you go out and you put it all out there, you'll sleep well at night. And that's what we need to do today.
And just one question here. Yeah. Ben covered most of it, but how does it feel, you know, like you said, in that last stage to be back here at home playing in the finals?
Yeah.
Is it pretty exciting?
It is. Like I said, the funny part is you don't realize it till it's over. You know, when you look back on it, like last year, for instance, you're in the moment all season and you're trying to do whatever you can to win. But when I sat down over the summer and I really sat down and thought about it, you're like, wow, that was pretty special. You know, and it always seems to be the way when I look past over different places and championships I've won and places I've been. It seems like after the fact, you kind of realize how special it was. So I'm going to try to take a different approach tonight and try to really live in the moment and enjoy everything for what it is. And, you know, we're playing a basketball game for a living. We're bringing so much joy to the fans and the people of Newfoundland and the kids especially. And, you know, that's something special to be said for that. So, you know, and the other part of that is I need to be that role model. You know what I mean? I can't show weakness. I can't show frustration. I can't show anything. And at times that's hard. I'm not going to lie. At times that gets really difficult, you know, because you always got to be the bigger person. But tonight is a special, special moment for City of St. John's, for the province of Newfoundland, and for me and my teammates. So I'm hoping we're going to be ready for the challenge, and we're going to come do everything we can to get this win.
Carl, awesome. Thank you very much. Okay, good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys.
It's been a tumultuous couple of weeks for you after finding out that potentially you had a season-ending injury and now returning to the lineup.
I mean, it means a lot, man. I just want to thank God first and foremost. You know, I was praying every day and, you know, just working every day to get to this point. You know, I do anything to fight for my guys, you know what I mean? They have my back the whole year, you know, and if I could come in and contribute, you know, a little or a lot, it means a lot to them because they know that I got their backs too, right?
Definitely, and of course, you have been a big fan on the sidelines. You've been with this team, you've been on the road, even injured, and brought the energy. Yourself and Kyle Johnson in situations have really uplifted this team, and now you get to do it in the locker room. So what is the feeling like in the locker room right now?
Oh, you know, me just suiting up, you know, it's has the guys like really excited to go out and compete because they know that, you know, I bring that energy, you know, while I'm on the court, while I'm off the court in practice, whatever, you know. So they're very excited that I'm suiting up tonight. So I know that energy is going to come from right from the jump.
And of course, the fans are excited as well. So just a little comment about the fans here in St. John's and what they brought to you guys all season long.
Man, like I said before, like, we have the best fans in the nation, and I know they're going to bring it tonight. Like, they've been doing all season, and, you know, we're excited to, you know, be back home after being on the road for so long. So we're just going to go out there and bring our hard hats and compete at a high level.
Does it help to have a hometown boy like Carl English, who's fighting through some injuries as well, pushing for it tonight?
Yeah, Carl's a warrior, you know. Like I said before, I've been knowing Carl for a long time, and, you know, nothing's changed. He's always going to be a warrior, you know. He's on his last leg, but he's going to fight. He's going to fight.
Junior, team's in desperate need of a spark down 0-2. Davis out with injury now as well. How do you come in and give your teammates a boost that they need? What can you do to be this spark?
Well, you know, I'm going to compete. I'm going to bring the mental toughness. I'm going to be there as a leader. And, you know, I'm going to see what happens. We just got to compete, man. That's the main thing. Like, for this series, we've been up majority of the minutes, you know, so there's no excuse. Man down or whatever. It's next man up mentality. And we just got to go out there and compete as a team and compete very hard.
We talked about the fans, the fan base here. What does it mean to making your return in St. John's rather than in Moncton?
I mean, it's nothing like it. I'm at home, man. You know, defend the rock. You know, that's the motto. So, you know, I'm excited to be in front of the fans. I know they're excited for my return, and, you know, I'm going to go out there and compete.
Now, you played for Marquette. You played pro in Italy and Greece. How does the St. John's fan base stack up to these previous experiences, and what are your expectations for tonight's home crowd?
I mean, I say it's better than Greece. You know, Greece is, like, a more of a, you know, smaller, market when it comes to, like, you know, the fan base. We got a bigger arena. You know, the fans here, they're just so excited. Like, they haven't really, you know, been a part of, like, basketball. This is, like, the second year. So, you know, for them, 6-7 years down the line, this is going to be a machine, or although a machine for sure.
Here with head coach Steve Marcus.
Before we start, there's a lot of microphones. This is the first time I've had this kind of microphones.
One take Steve, right?
I like it. One take. Okay. I got you. One take.
Right. Always.
Here with head coach Steve Marcus. Steve, a lot of roster moves the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Just a little comment on the junior activation.
Yeah, so talked to the medical team. June worked out on Friday night in Moncton and felt fantastic. Yesterday took the day off and just kind of to rehab and did some stretching with our trainers. And everything that the medical team told us was he'll be available tonight on a minutes restriction. And, you know, it'd be good to have June back, just what he brings to not just the locker room, but, you know, on and off the court for us. And and just what he means to us as a big part of what we do.
Definitely. And what are some of the keys coming into this two-game stretch at home here?
I just think we just got to take it, you know, 1 6-minute stretch at a time. You know, where we've broken the quarters up into 6-minute stretches, you know, before we reach media timeout and before the end of the quarter. And, you know, we just got to win each of those 6-minute shifts. And, you know, obviously down 2-0, backs against the walls right now, but we've been here before. You know, had to win an elimination game in Sudbury, you know, won a tough game 5 in Kitchener, and, you know, won a game 5 here against Sudbury in the first round as well. So we've been here before. our guys are ready to go. We're going to treat this as a must-win, you know, game seven mentality from here on out for us, and that's kind of where we're at.
Definitely, and coming home to the Mile One Center crowd, the best crowd in the NBL of Canada, as some of the players have said.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you guys?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. You know, it's first time in the history here of professional basketball that, you know, we're in the finals, and even though it's a Monday night, I've heard ticket sales are, you know, really good, and we're looking forward to another packed arena, and our fan base has been fantastic through us throughout the playoffs and throughout the regular season, and our guys are chomping at the bit, ready to go to play tonight, and great opportunity for us, so we're ready to go.
How important is it to win this game here at home and without Big Baby in the lineup?
Yeah, I think it's huge, but we've got, you know, the rest of the guys in this locker room right now are capable players. You know, we've stepped up. You know, we talked about the game against PEI to end the year. No Glenn, no Olu, no Carl to end the season for us against PEI. We won in overtime, and obviously it's a different – we're playing a different team, but just we're kind of going to go with that same mindset, you know, same type of offensive scheme and defensive scheme, and you know, try to turn them over, and we're going to play a lot faster than we have in the first couple of games of the finals, and that's just important for us right now is to, if we make shots, we're going to be okay. So we're going to take a bunch of threes, and hopefully some of them fall.
Do you have any kind of timetable for Davis yet?
No, he's going to be reevaluated tomorrow. So he'll be reevaluated tomorrow. But after the game, you know, he iced and put him in a boot, and just so that when he flew, that the pressure, the flight wasn't too bad for him. But he'll be reevaluated tomorrow by our medical team, and we'll go from there. But I find it hard-pressed that he won't be in the lineup for game four. So.
And now we talked about what it meant to have Junior back in the lineup, but how does this help the team get back on its feet for game three?
Yeah, I think June means a ton to us. You know, he's our heartbeat defensively. He's an absolute warrior, and he's a dog in a good way. Obviously, the league's most improved player. He had a fantastic season for us. It was unfortunate when he went down, but he's, you know, kudos to him and our medical team for getting him back and ready to go and in proper shape for game three tonight. So we're looking forward to having him back. Obviously, he'll be on a minutes restriction, but I know for those minutes that he's out there, he's going to, you know, give it his all and be diving on the floor and be playing 100%.
And now, what can you kind of pinpoint to the game two loss? Because it was, like I said, three excellent quarters, but in the fourth kind of fell apart, and then Moncton went on that run to eventually win the game. How do you prevent that from happening?
I think, I mean, at the end of the day, with a short bench and a tough, you know, tough roster right now with injuries and minutes and things like that, I've got to do a better job of managing our players' minutes. You know, Dez played 45 minutes on Saturday night, and maybe if he only plays 35, he steps up and knocks those free throws down at the end of the game. So I've got to do a better job of managing players' minutes, and I'll do that tonight. But each guy's gonna, you know, it's a fantastic opportunity for us, and you know, all nine guys are going to have to play tonight, however many minutes that is. But we'll hopefully we can come out and put together 48 minutes of basketball, full 48 minutes, not, you know, 36 or 40. But like I said, win each of those six-minute segments, and we'll be okay.
What does it mean for the boys tonight to see Carl English pushing through injuries and coming out in what could be the final stages of his career in his hometown?
Yeah, I think the guys obviously know how much Carl means to the city and the province and even to the organization. And, they love Carl. He's a warrior. His mentality right now is, you know, there's however many games left in this playoffs, hopefully, five at max. So they know what he means to the city and to the organization and to the team. And, you know, Carl's hasn't played well in the first two games, but I, you know, fully expect him to step up and be great tonight at home and make some shots to get this place, you know, rocking and rolling to start the first quarter. So, guys know they're ready to go, and Carl will be ready to go as well.
How are you feeling after this morning's practice and shoot around?
It was good. It was a good shoot around. We did some adjustments. We have some adjustments we're going to make. You know, pressing a little bit more, trying to turn them over a little bit more. I felt like their guards have been too comfortable. You know, Trey Kell is really, really good, and Billy White's really good, and Jason Calise went off on Saturday night and made a bunch of shots. So, you know, we just got to do a better job of making those guards uncomfortable and trying to turn them over, and I fully expect us to do that tonight.
And just lastly, what's the message to the team before tonight's game?
It's like I told you guys, it's a game seven mentality. It's our backs are against the wall. Our backs have been against the wall all season. And, you know, the last 6 weeks, you know, we've had adversity and face adversity. And fully expect our guys to answer the bell tonight. But, you know, game seven mentality, you know, it's not a win or go home, but that's how we're treating it. But just take these six-minute segments at a time, one each six-minute segment. And, you know, at 9:30 tonight, hopefully the series is 2-1.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Call now 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. The Monday Night Sports Show will be right back. This is the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Big Land Radio Network.
The Monday Night Sports Show is brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles, 250 Water Street. Everything for the sports fan.
Now, welcome back to the program. I haven't got bitten by that ad in a while, but that it was only a matter of time. Anyways, moving on. We're going to flick over to line number one, where we have Ben Cleary on the line. Ben Cleary, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic. Monday night, sports, Edge are playing right
Monday
now.
Night.
It's all great.
It's all good. And there's NHL playoff hockey tonight again.
Yes, finally. And I was actually having that conversation with a couple of my roommates last night. We were sitting around the kitchen table and saying, "And the playoffs are so great, but you know what sucks about the playoffs is when you get into the later rounds and there's only four teams left and there's not hockey on every single night and multiple games on every single night."
Oh, so true. And you also get the crushing kind of, like, tonight's St. Louis, San Jose Sharks game, if I'm not mistaken, starts at 10:30 or 11. Which is just too late to really dial into.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, that's just punishing. Punishing beyond belief. But I'm actually going to try to get that exact time up. But, yeah, it's just, you know, yeah, it is. It's 10:30, a 10:30 start time, which is really tough. Really tough.
But, and, you know, it's not just NHL hockey that I wanted to call in about. It's also the IIHF World Hockey Championship right now. So we kind of get a taste of the best players not left in the playoffs at
yes.
the time, which is really nice.
I love this tournament. Yeah, I absolutely love this tournament every year. And it also gives you that bit of a continuation, you know, because you got the NHL playoffs happening, and then you got all the guys who got kicked out early or didn't make the playoffs and all that, battling for their countries in another tournament, and you got games on there all day and multiple games, and it's awesome.
It's nice. And there's some good storylines coming out of here. First of all, I'd love to start with how Kako Kapo is playing with Finland.
My God.
Because he's an 18-year-old, and he's playing like a full-grown man out there.
It's been unreal.
He's making the number one, number two draft choices a lot harder for a lot of teams.
Absolutely. And
Centerman with USA. It doesn't look like he's a surefire number one with the way Kako's playing.
No, honestly. And especially because they're both at this tournament. Jack Hughes is now there with the U.S. and Kapo Kako there with the Finns. So, you know, this is really a big time to lay it all out there. And I watched a clip, and it was, you know, the Dreger Cafe that they do over there when this tournament's underway? Well, he was talking to Jack and Quinn Hughes, and he was kind of asking Jack about, like, you know, do you think it was a little bit risky to come play in this tournament with the chance of hurting your draft stock? And he was just like, no.
He said, I'm already the best. I've proven I can be the best. Now it's time to play with men. And you know what? That's the confidence it takes to go number one overall, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. But I totally agree with what you're saying. Kapo Kako has put on a show. He did it against Canada, and then he did it again the next game. And he's not just, like, getting points and, you know, looking good out there. He's scoring ridiculous goals.
Yeah, he has 5 goals in 3 games. That's quite the click. I think it's the most in the tournament right now.
Yeah. Like, he also just picked up a puck off the wall at, like, the top, just outside the top of the circle, closer to the blue line, and just ripped a clapper and went cheese over the goalie's shoulder. Like, it was nothing.
Yeah. So he mentioned today in an interview, actually, everybody says he's another Mikko Rantanen, who's also Finnish, also a big 6'5" winger, gets points like they're nothing. But Kako actually said, actually, I emulate my game after Austin Matthews. He's the player I watch. He's the player I want to be. Which is
I didn't see that. That's awesome. Love that.
Yeah. It's anytime anybody says they want to play like Austin Matthews, you know they're going to be good.
Yeah. You know they're just absolute goal-scoring machine.
Yeah. And I do want to kind of air a complaint as well on the show tonight, which is the fact that it's so nice to see all these players coming together. And the NHL is doing such a poor job of allowing us to see players play for their country.
Oh,
like right
absolutely.
Now, Team USA, we're watching Dylan Larkin and Patrick Kane and Jack Eichel and Johnny Gaudreau, all these superstars come together for the first time. And this tournament is an afterthought to the Olympics and the World Cup. And the NHL is willing to pay for their players to go to neither of those tournaments.
And I get the ownership side, and they don't want guys getting hurt, and the 2-week break for the Olympics and the season and all that stuff. I get it, but like, come on, it's like every player in the NHL who has the opportunity wants to play for their country, and they all make that very clear. Any opportunity they get.
And I would argue, don't get me wrong, Canadians want to play for Canada, no doubt about it. But when you see the way that, like, the Russians get fired up about not going to the Olympics, like, Ovi, Alexander Ovechkin was almost not going to play in the NHL because he wasn't allowed to play in the Olympics. So across the pond, I mean, for some of these teams, it's like you grow up wanting to play on the national team. It kind of emulates soccer that way. And to take that from them because you're going to lose your players for a few weeks and somebody might get injured, you know, it's just not good for the sport.
Yeah, no. I totally agree. It sucks. It sucks. Yeah. Everyone wants the NHL players at these events.
And we always forget, too, at least I always forget, is that Sidney Crosby isn't going to last forever, and we only have a little bit of time to see Crosby and McDavid play together.
And really rip
just
it up.
A little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I agree.
The time is now to see the Gretzky and Lemieux of this era come together and play on the same team. And there's not many years left, and the NHL has taken that from us. So
there you have it. If you have the time tomorrow, write an angry letter to the NHL and let them know.
Yeah, I will boo the next time Gary Bettman gets on stage. I will join that chorus any day of the week.
All right. Well, Ben Cleary, my friend, I do need to go to the news. So thank you very much for taking the time to call in tonight. I always appreciate it.
Yes, enjoy the show. Thank you.
All right, pal. Have a good one. All right, we're going to take it over to Mr. Richard Duggan in the VOCM newsroom now. And then when we come back, we have Andrew from Maverick Sports and Collectibles. And then we're going to talk about the Raptors' big win last night. We'll be right back right after this.
This is the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Big Land Radio Network.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. This is the Monday Night Sports Show on your 590 VOCM and Labrador's Big Land FM. We're going to jump right over to line number one, where we have Andrew Corbett on the line from down at Maverick Sports and Collectibles. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Fantastic. How are you?
Not too bad.
So, what do we have new down at the shop this week?
So, it's a little bit of a slow week. We have a few new things. Most of it is not in yet, but will be in later the week. Well, there's a bunch of new sports pop figures coming in various different sports. There's a new Michael Jordan one.
Okay.
I know there's a Muhammad Ali one and a few other interesting ones, so we'll have them later this week. No hockey cards out this week, but we had a couple of baseball. Now the baseball's underway. We got Topps Tier 1 baseball and Topps Big League baseball due in. And other than that, we'll be just keeping stocked up with all our remaining playoff teams and Edge and Growler stuff and lots of Raptor stuff.
Okay, yeah, okay. Speaking of the Raptors, I'm sure you caught the game last night.
Yes, that was a tense game, but it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, what were your thoughts on it all?
I mean, both teams were poor shooting for most of the game, but
the start was rough.
I think they were pretty evenly matched. I think the Raptors had the slight edge. I think they let it get away from them at times with some of the runs they let Philadelphia go on, but I think the better team won in the end.
Yeah, me too. So you say you got lots of Raptor stuff down there. What kind of Raptor stuff?
Raptor stuff right now, we've got some playoff T-shirts, we've got some We the North hoodies, some We the North T-shirts, we got some Leonard T-shirts, some Lowry T-shirts,
cool.
And a few other hoodies and hats and things like that.
Are there any card breaks coming up in the near future?
Nothing right now. There's a little bit of a lull here in the hockey cards for the next few weeks, but we're thinking about doing one next weekend and doing a mixed one with a bunch of different products that have been out this year already so far. So I'll let you know on that one next Monday.
Okay, cool. And I meant to ask you, too, about Vladdy Guerrero Jr. stuff. Any of that gear in?
So the blue T-shirts and the white T-shirts with the name and number and everything have come in.
Nice.
The jerseys we're expecting any time now. And as I mentioned to you last week, there is a figurine coming, but that's going to be July before we see that.
Okay. And, there was one more, too, I had to ask you about. Oh, I totally slipped off my mind now. yes, there it is. I wanted to ask you, who do you have pegged to win the cup as we're down now to four teams?
I mean, the way it's looking now and the way some teams are being looked after by the hockey gods, it seems, but it's looking like we're going to go to a Boston-San Jose.
Yeah.
Although, personally, I think it would have been interesting if we had a rematch of the 1970 Boston-St. Louis. It would have been interesting as well.
Right.
But St. Louis has some work ahead of them if we're going to get to that.
Yeah, definitely. And let's say it is Boston and San Jose. Do you have any prediction there?
I don't know. Boston has surprised me. They've played much better than I thought they would. That second game just then against Carolina was, I thought Carolina was going to come out blazing in that one, and no.
So yeah, I know.
Boston looks to be looking good, but San Jose seems to be the team that the hockey gods are looking down on at the moment, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting indeed, especially the way these playoffs have gone so far. But Andrew, thank you very much for joining me again tonight.
All right, no problem. We'll
have
talk
a good
to you
one,
soon.
For sure.
All right,
bye.
Bye.
And that's Andrew Corbett from down at Maverick Sports and Collectibles at 250 Water Street. Everything for the sports fan, and lots more stuff on the way as well. But on some unfortunate news, the St. John's Edge and Moncton Magic Game 3 has come to a close, and the Edge lost 103-93 final. That puts them down 3-0 to Moncton in the series and in a very tough spot going into Game 4. That's Thursday night at the Mile 1 with tip-off at 7 p.m. And yeah, as we mentioned earlier, that puts them down 3-0, and it's going to be tough. Not to say that, you know, it can't be done, the reverse sweep. We've seen it before. And the Edge absolutely have no quit in them whatsoever, so we're not going to count them out yet by any means whatsoever, but they definitely have a tough road ahead, especially against a team like Moncton, because Moncton has been great all year. They finished first in the regular season and are just a powerhouse of a team. So the Edge have a lot of good work, a lot of big, heavy workload in front of them, but there's no reason why we can't push for the reverse sweep and keep this magical postseason run alive. But Zach, what do you think? We'll take a quick timeout. Yeah, we'll take a quick timeout, and then when we come right back, we're going to talk about the NBA. We'll be right back right after this.
Call now 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. The Monday Night Sports Show will be right back. This is the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Big Land Radio Network.
The Monday Night Sports Show is brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles, 250 Water Street. Everything for the sports fan.
All right, welcome back to the Monday Night Sports Show, everybody, brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles. We're going to go right over to line number 5 right now, where we have the basketball insider, Mr. Sam Prowse, on the line. Sam, how are you?
I'm good, Ben. I'm good, man. It's good to be back on the show. I love when I get the chance to come on here and talk some sports with you.
It's always a pleasure, and we got a lot of big stuff to talk about after what could be deemed the greatest moment in Toronto Raptors history. Fair? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say it is. I mean, like, the Raptors have made the conference finals before, and you know what? They've actually played quite well in the conference finals. They took two games on Cleveland there a few years back. But we've never gone finals or won a series in that kind of fashion. This is actually the first time in NBA history that a series was won at the buzzer in Game 7. Super, super exciting.
Yeah, how wild is that?
Oh, every sports fan, I mean, no matter, even if you don't even like sports, you saw what happened last night. And it was breathtaking. I've never seen something like that. Like, you know, stress, adrenaline, joy, yeah, everything mixed into one play. It was nothing like ever before.
It was exactly that. Like you said, it was breathtaking, because like when the ball went up and then hit the rim the first time, I think everyone just stopped. No one, like you said, no one took a breath, and then to just watch the ball slowly fall in, it was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't, it didn't look like it was going in.
No.
I mean, and especially when I hit the rim, you think that, oh, that's like, no, that's off, but I mean, you got to give the man credit. Kawhi Leonard is one hell of a basketball player. He's a tremendous athlete. I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, the length of time that Vince Carter and DeRozan both played for the Raptors, I mean, there's no question that, like, Kawhi is the most skilled, you know, the best player.
Oh, of course.
To ever put on a Raptors jersey. Like, he's just so talented, and he's so composed. His IQ is off the charts. Defensively, he's amazing. Offensively, he's amazing. And clearly, the clutch factor exists within him as well, because that was a crazy shot.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, the clutch factor is no doubt there. And what made it almost even more incredible, how it's almost the exact same shot that Vince missed in Game 7 against the 76ers, just on the opposite side of the court.
Yeah, that's, I mean, everyone was comparing that, you know, because, like, I mean, it was a, you know, conference semifinal.
Yeah.
I believe it was 2001 against Allen Iverson, the Sixers. And Vince Carter, it was like, you know, the graduation day, because he graduated earlier that day in North Carolina and then flew to Philadelphia to play that game. And yeah, he missed that shot. But with Kawhi, it's just like, well, Kawhi's better. Like, Kawhi, like he's better. He's, like, he's so good. Like,
he's a specimen.
So good. And right now, people, you know, Masai Ujiri is looking pretty good, and he's feeling really good. Although, I mean, everyone was very bitter with DeMar DeRozan leaving. What can you really say now? I mean,
the guy
is bringing us to the conference finals. He had 41 points last night. He's averaging over 30 in the playoffs. Like he is everything that we anticipated and more.
Yeah, and he is the real deal, and it really makes you go look back. And because I was one of those people who was like, come on, traded DeRozan of all people, like the one guy who loves Toronto, wants to be there more than anybody, and you trade him, like, come on. But then, and then to see in the season, you know, because Kawhi was phenomenal all year, don't get me wrong, but like to see a lot of that like load management and stuff like that, there were still some question marks, but now it's just like,
there
can't be.
No, and especially at the beginning of the year, like, yeah, they were still a good team, yes. But, you know, we had a good team. We already had a good team, right? And, like, I'm still, you know, maybe it's just because I really like the guy, but I'm still not really decided if I think Nick Nurse was the right signing. I think, like, you know, we could have kept Casey. I really do, because I really liked him as a coach. But I think this move, you know, to get Kawhi and how it's panned out, it was a smart business move. And people forget that, you know, pro sports, whether it's basketball, baseball, hockey, football, like, they're games, but like it is professional business.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Masai Ujiri had to make the move to put the Raptors forward, and clearly it's paid off for him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And do you think DeRozan's Raptors from last year, along with Dwayne Casey, would have came out of that 7-game series? I know it's hard to say because you can't really pinpoint anything, but do you think they would have?
You know what? No, probably not. I'll come out, you know, right out and say that. I don't think so. A lot of basketball analysts, and I mean, even, you know, a super fan like myself would suggest that Philadelphia's starting five was, you know, probably the second best starting five in the NBA, if not the best. They were just super balanced all the way through.
Yeah, and they're big and tough, too.
Really, really tough, strong team, you know, skilled in every single, you know, attribute. They were really, really strong. Their bench was a little bit weak, but it's playoffs, so you don't really go that deep into your bench. So if last year's Raptors team played, you know, this current Sixers team, I would have picked this Sixers team to have won. But I think, you know, it's without question that this year's Raptors team is far better than last year's or even the year previous. I mean, this is the best team we've had, you know, in history, as far as I know. And I mean, this is the most skilled player we've ever seen watch on, you know, our Canadian court.
Now the conversation continues to go back to, you know, oh, well, now after this shot, will Kawhi stay? Is there a better chance that he'll stay now after this? You know, like all these questions come up continuously after almost every game. But where do you stand on that now?
And the more I look into it and the more I read about it and the more I see, I don't know if all this, like, you know, attention about Kawhi leaving is really even a thing. I think it's the media blowing it up and creating a story, because it is a story and
absolutely
talked about. Like, Kawhi is a quiet, private guy. Like, he doesn't say much. He doesn't do much. He has no social media outlets. Like, he doesn't do anything on social media.
I love that.
You know, he's super, like, he's different. You know, he doesn't care about, like, glam. He doesn't care about, like, all the noise. I can't see him leaving. Now, I say that, you know, on the side of being biased, because the Clippers, you know, he was born in Los Angeles. The Clippers dumped a lot of their salary issues going into the playoffs, and they still were a playoff team. They still, you know, took 2 games of the Golden State. They have no star players. They have no one to start. There's a bunch of guys who work hard. Kawhi would fit there really, really well, and he's from there. He bought a house 3 hours south there. Like, it could happen, but, like, I just thought, you know, with a team this strong with Toronto, especially, you know, going into this, I really do believe, you know, wholeheartedly that they can get past Milwaukee. I don't think Milwaukee poses as big of a threat as perhaps Philadelphia did. I'm talking in terms of matchups. Like, if we get past, if we go to the finals, I think, like, we can really, you know, we can really hope and almost be for certain that he will be back. But it's just like I said, I think the media blows it up, so it's really hard to have like a definitive answer. I really do think it's more the media than it is him who's kind of creating this buzz.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's totally fair. And again, because Kawhi doesn't say anything, doesn't show any emotion. He doesn't. I love it, but it kills me. Now, as we do kind of shift focus and now gear up for the Bucks, who completely ran over the Celtics, and I think a lot of people might have thought the Bucks would win, but maybe not as easily as they did. What are your thoughts there on just them, A, beating the Celtics, but then, B, gearing up for the Raptors?
Boston really showed their true colors in that series. They're a bit of a mess. On paper they have a great team, and like chemistry wise, I they seem to really work well together. But I really think that Kyrie has drawn so much negative attention to that team, and that, you know, those young players. Like, I don't know why Kyrie even wants to leave. Boston has a great team, great youth, great experience. Like, they're not an old team. Like, they have a, you know, the perfect core to go far in the next few years. Why would he want to leave? I have no idea. They're a great sports city, a great franchise.
Yeah.
It makes no sense, but they really came up short, and I'm not surprised at all. Milwaukee, obviously, they're the best team in the regular season in the NBA. Now, I don't think they're the best team in the league. I think Golden State still is. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone would agree with me there.
Yeah.
But, you know, Milwaukee, no one can stop Giannis on Boston. Like, who's going to guard Giannis? You know, he's too good. He's too big. He's too strong. He's too tall. He's too athletic. There's no answer for him. I mean, but, you know, we have Kawhi. Kawhi is a two-time Defensive Player of the Year, and he also, you know, guarded LeBron and won an NBA championship against LeBron. So
absolutely,
there's our answer. We have that answer. You know, it's going to be, you know, two teams going at one another that are both kind of star-driven. I do think that we have a better, like, you know, all-around roster. But in these playoffs, a lot of our team has kind of, you know, given the ball to Kawhi and, you know, hoping that he does something with it, which is a bad sign. But whatever, it's gotten us here. New series, new start. You know, who knows what'll happen. But I wasn't surprised at all to see Milwaukee take over Boston. I mean, Boston was, you know, they just didn't have it. They didn't have it. Yeah. At the beginning of the year, I thought they did, but no, not, you know, when the playoffs started, I was not really impressed with them. But I think Milwaukee and Toronto, that's going to be one hell of a series.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to look at it and not seeing it go deep again, looking at 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way one team, you know, gets out of that series in 4 or 5 games. There's no way.
Yeah.
6 for sure. Like, it's definitely no 6 for sure. And it could go either way. I mean, they start in Milwaukee, but, I mean, like, who knows, right? It's just, the Eastern Conference is fun, right?
Yeah.
Because everything is like, you know, the best teams are winning, but like, it's, you know, in dramatic fashion. So it's hard to say who will win that series. I do think, you know, being biased, I am Canadian, I'm a huge Raptors fan. I think Toronto will pull away. But who knows, man? Like, they're really good.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's really good. And, you know, they are a star-driven team, but they have other players in the roster who are strong. Like, Chris Middleton was an all-star this year. He's the real deal. George Hill. I mean, Brooke Lopez. Nikola Mirotic. They have a lot of good surrounding players. It's going to be a really good series. I mean, like, way better than the Western Conference. I mean, Portland versus Golden State. That should be an absolute womp. I mean, the Golden State. You know, sweep that series. I think they'll sweep or get 5 games the very most.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Milwaukee and Toronto, everyone's going to want to watch that series. And then Wednesday night is huge.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, maybe that lack of rest might actually do the Raptors a little bit of a favor, as, you know, Milwaukee has had a few days off now since beating the Celtics, and the Raps just kind of keep trucking, keep going. And I think that might actually benefit them in kind of getting a good jump in game one, which could be critical to the series.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, people always think that, like, rest is, you know, what you need. Rest is important in any athletic capacity. But, like, when you have, in a playoff, no matter what sport it is, once you have that momentum, like, you don't want to lose it, right? So, like, you know, having a day off is fine. Having 2 days off is fine. Any more than that, like, you start to slip a little bit. But, like, you know, the boys will still be fresh going into Wednesday, whereas Milwaukee had a lot longer off. So, you know what, even with Milwaukee, I really expect Toronto to come out, you know, guns ablaze. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully they can, you know, get away with a big win. And I think they could. I mean, like I said, that, you know, staying fresh, staying, like, you know, staying active, that I think that works for us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of backtracking a little bit, but I thought Kyle Lowry was phenomenal last night. And not so much in the offensive state, but more defensively. I thought he just played a really stand-up game and did what was needed to be done to win, whether it was draw fouls, whatever the case may be. I thought he was great. What did you think?
I think you're absolutely right, Ben. With Kyle Lowry, I mean, he's not in his prime anymore. He was an all-star this year, but he really wasn't an all-star caliber player. He we don't need him to put up 20 points a game. We just don't. He's a good floor general. And last night you saw, like, how much he impacted the game without putting the ball in the hoop. I mean, he took, like, 3 or 4 charges. He was, like, yeah, you know, stealing balls. I mean, there was one play there. Was it a scramble under the net? And he was falling out of bounds. The pass behind his back to Ibaka. And, like, that's the kind of play that he makes. And those little plays are huge in playoff basketball. I really think that, like, we don't need 20 points. You know, 12, 14, that's totally fine. But as long as he is putting his handprint on that game, you know, mm-hmm. as long as he's, you know, playing chippy, playing with a chip on his shoulder, playing, you know, aggressive, and, yep. and always driving, always trying to make something happen, then we'll be in good hands because we do have scorers. Now, Siakam was a little bit quiet last night, but I do consider him one of our main scorers. I think him and Kawhi, once they're both going, I mean, who can stop us?
And Sam, now I just want to switch over a little bit to our St. John's Edge, down 2-0, big game tonight, and a big boost to the lineup with Junior Cadogan making his return. How big is that for the Edge?
I mean, it's huge. I mean, with all due respect, like, Jaren Skeet played great. He was really good. He had a few really big games for us as well. But I think there's no question that our starting guard is Junior Cadogan. He won Most Improved Player in the NBL. His tenacity, like when he mm-hmm. drives to the net, like his leadership. I mean, the Edge have been missing that. But like I said, like, you know, Skeet played really, really good. But our starting guard's got to be Cadogan. He's too strong. He's too much experience. I think he's really that's going to be a huge boost for the Edge. And now I don't know whether or not he'll start. We'll only know that before the game starts.
Yeah, and he will be held to limited minutes. I do know that much. But still, just having that boost, you know, just having him there in uniform on the bench, that's just such a big difference.
Yeah, it was the same way when Carl came back. You know, anytime a player's out for a while and he comes back, like it gets not only the fans excited, but like the team also. And I know for a fact, you know, the Edge have been battered and bruised quite a bit because, you know, they got a shorter bench now. Playoffs have been rough on them. They, you know, they've played a lot of games. I mean, like, they've had a couple days off, and that's great, but you know, sometimes you need that spark, that, you know, that mental spark, and like, you know, getting a player like that, like a leader, someone who's huge to the lineup, that's going to be a big spark for them. And I think, hopefully now, fingers crossed, they come out with a lot of fire tonight and get a win because it's must needed.
Yeah, and let's say it's a must need win tonight. I know they're treating it as like almost like a game 7, but how critical is it to get this game 3 win here at home?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, firstly, I mean, when you play at home in any sport, you want to get those wins because, like, obviously it's a lot more difficult on the road. I think if they don't win this game tonight, I mean, it's going to be almost done. It's going to be really, really hard to come back. Mm-hmm. Moncton is so good, the best team in the league, record-wise, and clearly, you know, like, you know, not just on paper, they are a strong team. Now, the Edge almost won game 3, game 2. But it slipped away there in the fourth quarter, which is too bad. But, you know, we have the next 2 games for sure are at home, and that's really exciting. We got to get those. Get the first one. It's always one game at a time.
Absolutely.
You win one game, take it from there. I mean, if they win, you know, tonight, they get Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then Thursday, they're back at it. And, you know, if you get one tonight, get one again on Thursday, we're back in this. And you know,
absolutely.
That can be really, really big. You know, I'm nervous. I think everyone's nervous because, like, It's so huge. It would mean so much to the city for the Edge to win this mm-hmm. championship, especially how popular they become here in St. John's. So, it's a big game. It's really smart that players will be treating this like a game 7.
Well, Sam Prowse, my basketball insider, I always appreciate the call and chatting with you about everything under the sun. So thank you very much for joining me again tonight.
Yeah, no problem, Ben. Anytime, man. Love talking basketball with you.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout on the Monday Night Sports Show, and we'll be right back right after this.
Call now 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. The Monday Night Sports Show will be right back. This is the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Bigland Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Monday Night Sports Show, brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles. I'm your host, Ben Murphy, and now I'm joined live in studio again by a couple of pals of mine, Jared Lush and Jordan Meyer. Boys, welcome to the studio and the Monday Night Sports Show. Both friends of the show, been on before, but first time in studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
We got not a lot of time. Not as much time as we had planned for, but that's okay. And we have a lot of stuff to cover. But we're going to start first, and we're going to look at Major Midget here in Newfoundland, because you guys both coming from Gander, you both grew up playing through the Central Ice Pack, I guess you'll organization, all the way up through until your Major Midget days where you played 3 years, you went on to bigger, bigger things. And but now the Central Ice Pack did fold. So what were your thoughts when you initially saw that the Central Ice Pack were going to be folding?
I'll take this one up first, I guess. Well, first of all, obviously it's disappointing to see.
Yeah.
After going through 3 years with the program, and I think we can all agree that it's an absolute pleasure to play in that league, and
100%
amazing experience to go through. It is disappointing to see. Now, obviously, coming back next year under a different name, supported by a different organization, which is great to see, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you don't like to see that happen with taking a year off. A lot of guys who, of course, want to be playing hockey mm-hmm. that year, having to probably travel out of town, travel a lot longer than normal
yeah.
To play hockey. Just like I said, it's just great to see you coming back next year.
Yeah, I think for me, like, that was some of the most fun hockey I've played, like, growing up playing with
absolutely.
All the boys I grew up with. So it was sad to see, and like Leshy said there, have a year of hockey just, you know, gone
just
like
gone.
That. And I mean, we won a championship there together, and to see it, not there anymore, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, and you won the championship just a few years ago, really was not that long, and still produced pretty good teams in the following years after that. So then just to see the kind of rug come out and under it all, just were you just kind of shocked? Like, I know you probably can't pinpoint the exact answer as to why the team folded, or like, was it a lack of interest or what, but like, where did that happen? Because hockey thrived in Central for so long.
Yeah, I mean, we always, I don't think we really had the numbers, you know, kind of every year I played, it was always, you know, we were kind of short a little bit, but, we always produced some good hockey players
in
the
absolutely.
Years I was there, and, you know, a lot of guys went on to play junior or senior or something like that, so, like I said, it's sad to see, but we definitely did have some good years there.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't lack of management or organization mm-hmm. there, because they had a really good program behind them as far as the coaching, management, a lot of dedicated people who made that happen every year. Mm-hmm. And it did come down to lack of interest, unfortunately. And I think, like I said, like having to travel to play hockey, that's a huge factor when you have an area like Central that basically encompasses from Bonavista as far as Springdale.
Yeah.
Which is a 5-6 hour gap.
Yeah, and that's like in Western too. We had from St. Anthony all the way to Port of Basque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes it a bit tougher.
They're big stretches. Yes.
It makes it a bit tougher to make it to practice every week, and it's not something that you can kind of go in and just put half an effort in.
No.
It's something that you got to dive in 100% with.
And it costs a lot of money.
And going to practice twice a week, I know guys that I played with from Fogo Island who traveled 3 hours 2 times a week just to make it to practice, which is an absolute insane amount of dedication, in my opinion. Like, I was fortunate enough, the farthest I lived away from hockey was 45 minutes.
Yeah,
so
we were lucky, that's for sure.
That was the longest drive I ever had. And I think, you know, that's a big thing, obviously. another thing is, like, you have other options, too. There's high school hockey there, mm-hmm. like, just like here and all over the island, high school hockey. You have a house league that you can play in. There's no shortage of ice, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Everybody can get on the ice. And, I think it really just comes down to that 1 year that I guess a lot of people kind of had the same mindset, which was that they wanted to focus their focus elsewhere, which is completely understandable from a lot of young guys who have to literally give up days of their lives to play major midget where you got a lot of other things going on when you're that old, you know. School
absolutely.
Is still extremely important when you're that age. So it's not like they're getting paid to do it. Everybody pays handsomely to play major midget.
Absolutely.
So
it's a big commitment,
a big
for everybody,
sacrifice.
Your parents, everybody in the family. Mm. But now there is some good news coming out of all that. It's like you did mention that the program is coming back next year, but it's being rebranded a little bit, coming out of a different location, but you can tell us a little bit more about that, right, Jared?
Yeah, absolutely. So coming back next year as the Central Impact, fronted by Impact Hockey, program ran by Shane Luckinchuck in Grand Falls, who I had the pleasure of being coached by in my grade 12 year. Shane is, as coaches go, arguably one of the best coaches I've ever had, and also extremely dedicated to the sport, coaching the BCHL, before coming to Grand Falls, where he coached in Grand Falls for the senior hockey mm-hmm. team there. And now the past few years, focused his efforts kind of on the younger side of the hockey spectrum in Central, which is great. I think he's a good coach for all ages. Obviously, he won a championship with the senior league there, and also just building a lot of great hockey players out of Central right now. So hopefully that turns things around for that team.
Yeah, and how do you feel about the rebranding side of it?
Well, for us, I guess, who played with the Central Ice Pack for 3 years under that name, I guess it's bittersweet.
Yeah,
it's a new start for them, which I guess with a new start comes a new name, and I think I only wish them the best of luck now and next year, and I can only hope that, you know, it's a competitive year for them and that there's more interest on that side of the coin.
Yeah, just happy to see them have a team again. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now with Shane Luckenchuck, how fortunate do you think the area, you know, the Impact, the whole nine yards are to have him come on board? Because like you said, he's one of the best coaches you've ever had. So what do you think that means for the program going forward?
Well, I think Shane also with running Impact Hockey now in Grand Falls now for ever since he's been there 6 years now, I'm going to say. I might be wrong with that. It might be 5 years. But Shane's got to see a lot of hockey players coming up through, a lot of younger players from all over Central, running like those summer camps every single year. I'm sure like everybody knows that name now in Central. So, and that helps a lot too. When you're a young kid, having a familiar face is extremely important, I think.
Yeah, I've only been to, I think, two camps with him. I haven't really, you know, talked to him that much. But, you know, from my time on the ice with him, I thought, you know, he really knew what he was talking about. So I think they're in good hands there.
Yeah, and absolutely. And again, like you said, it's great to just see the program coming back to Central, because we want to have Major Midget Hockey thriving here in the province as much as we can, because it is, like you said, it's such a great league and it's so much fun to play in. And it's definitely some of the absolute best years of hockey in anyone's life, I think, because it was just an absolute riot the entire time. But we'll take a quick timeout, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Jordan and the QMJHL, as well as the NHL playoffs, which we cannot forget about with the late game starting at 10:30 tonight between St. Louis and San Jose. But we'll be right back right after this.
Call now 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. That's 1-888-590-VOCM. The Monday Night Sports Show will be right back. This is the Monday Night Sports Show on the VOCM Big Land Radio Network.
The Monday Night Sports Show is brought to you by Maverick Sports and Collectibles, 250 Water Street. Everything for the sports fan.
Back to the Monday Night Sports Show, everybody. I'm your host, Ben Murphy, and again, I am joined here live in studio with Jared Lush and Jordan Marr. So now we're going to switch it up a little bit, and Jordan, we'll talk about your career in the Q. 5 years under the belt, the Katy Bathurst Titan, Cape Breton Islanders, and the Halifax Mooseheads, all three. So just now that chapter of your life has come to a close playing in the Q. So just how does it feel?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It seems like just yesterday I was 16 years old playing my first game, but you know, a lot of good memories over the years. I was fortunate enough to, you know, win a Mem Cup and a Prez Cup with Bathurst. And then, you know, this year was a bit of a different experience. I was expected to play for Halifax with the Mem Cup, but then got traded. But really enjoyed my time in Charlottetown, actually.
Yeah.
Some of the best few months I had there.
Interesting. Okay, so tell us a little bit more about that and the whole process of going through the trade, especially like mid-season.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I was traded once before from Bathurst to Halifax, so I was used to the idea of getting traded, but kind of came as a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, I thought I took it well and went to Charlottetown, had more of a leadership role, you know, a lot more ice time, like almost too much, honestly. But, yeah, and just a great group of guys there. I really enjoyed it, and, you know, they filled the stands. Fans were great, so...
And how tough is it kind of making that transition then, especially with, you know, all the other stuff you have going on in your life?
Yeah, it's tough because, like, we're focused on school.
Yeah.
You know, we got friends and family home we're always in contact with. Just, like, you know, and I think it was a little tough, like, having, you know, everyone expecting me to play for Halifax, be at the Mem Cup, you know, this week. And, you know, having that trade. But, you know, everyone's told me I took it well, so... yeah, just tried to make the most of my opportunities, and I think I did that.
Yeah, you did pick it up then too. You started putting more points and up as well once you did get traded over to Charlottetown. So it seemed to work.
Yeah.
And so now, but like you said, there's definitely some high points, throughout that career, the Prez Cup, the Mem Cup. So first off, just kind of walk us through what it's like first winning a President's Cup, because that's, you know, that's a long grind
for, yeah,
you know, that whole playoff run, and then having to quickly turn around within not even a week before the Mem Cup.
Yeah.
So first off, just walk us through winning the Prez Cup.
Yeah, I think honestly winning the Prez Cup almost felt better than winning the Mem Cup, because you know you're working all year for that, like, you know, 18 teams. It's just a grind, like, all year. And then we were lucky enough to win it on home ice. So just, you know, the atmosphere was just crazy. Like, the rink was packed, you know, taking pictures with family and friends and stuff like that. And the Mem Cup was pretty cool, too, though. It's just when we won, it was in Regina, so...
Yeah.
I mean, it was just family and friends. Like, there was no one in the stands. But, you know, I think it definitely felt a lot better to win the Prez Cup, I think.
Interesting. Yeah. So now you do kind of have plans set now going forward as your days in the queue are done. But so tell us a little bit more about those.
Yeah, I'm committed to UPEI for next season. Play hockey there. The team's looking pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
They had a pretty good year this year. And, you know, I think they got a few good recruits coming in with myself included. And, yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. I was in PEI a couple months, so I saw the campus, kind of know what it's about.
Got a bit familiar.
Yeah.
So now the AUS is just an absolutely ridiculously good hockey league, as more and more people are starting to figure out now, because, like, a lot of people refer to it. Like, Marcus Kumo at St. FX says the same thing. Tyler Bolin at UNB always say that, you know, it's one of the best-kept secrets in hockey, how good that league is. So what's the mindset now going from the Q to a league like this that it's, you know, it's pro hockey?
Yeah, a lot of guys, like, come out of junior and decide to go to school instead of pro, you know what I mean? So, and for me, you know, going to be 21, going into a league with 26-year-olds, so it's obviously not going to be easy. Still got some training to do, and... you know, just excited to get things going. I think it's going to be tough, but a good challenge.
How does that mindset kind of differ from the queue?
Oh, God.
It's a little, and I know it's a little early because, you know, you're still a summer away, but.
I think that league is more physical for sure. Yeah. I watched a couple of games and, you know, there's some big guys out there, lots of physical play. So, yeah, that's the main thing for me, just get bigger and stronger for next season,
Do you feel like going from junior as like a 16-year-old stepped into that league and obviously leaving Newfoundland to play in the Q, that's obviously a huge step. And I'm sure you learned a lot along that way. Do you feel like now going from that, stepping into AUS, do you think that like made you a lot more prepared, just like maturity-wise, to play up that level?
Yeah, I think I kind of know what to expect going into it. I would say... I guess we're all men now, you know what I mean? Yeah. Coming in at 16, I was younger, never really trained, honestly, before that until after my first year. So I think I'm better prepared now going into university hockey as I was going into junior.
And more so mentally as well?
Yeah just because I know the whole deal now, 5 years, been through a lot of stuff. So
yeah, the adversity definitely gives you an upper hand as far as experience going into that, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we'll switch the page again now, and we only have about 5 minutes or so left, so we'll get into the NHL. Now, San Jose, St. Louis, game two goes tonight. San Jose, sorry, with a commanding 6-3 win in game one. Who do you have tonight?
Oh, God. I think San Jose. I like the way they play. I'm feeling San Jose again tonight, yeah.
It's hard not to go with San Jose. Like, before I came in, I took a little look over some stats just to see what the scoring leaders was looking like. Mm-hmm. I mean, San Jose right now, there's like five guys in the top 10.
Yeah, two of them are D.
And I think something that something that you've talked about also a couple times on the show now is how you don't need outstanding defense to win the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And it's looking like right now that the Blues definitely, you know, with Binnington back there, he's been super solid.
Yeah.
Basically... has backstopped them to the point that they're at now and have like an extremely solid decor there with Parayko and Pietrangelo. But San Jose, man, they just have that firepower.
I know.
And it usually comes down to those top end guys. You got Logan Couture, Pavelski's now back in.
Myers.
Yeah, hot Timo Myers now. Hot. Thomas Hertl's hot.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of the difference makers when it comes down to it. Of course, it's a 20 man team. Yeah. And it takes 20 guys to win a game, takes 20 guys to lose a game. But those top end guys really turn the table. That's what's going to come down to, in my opinion. So I'm going to take I'm going to take the Sharks as well. Yeah. I don't think that means that the Blues aren't going to have a couple games of their own in this series, because they're all obviously at this point in the year now. Both teams are extremely competitive, and you know there's going to be no lack of effort out there. So it's going to be an interesting series. I'm going to say that I don't think it's going to go seven games. I think it's going to go six, and I think San Jose is going to take it. But it's going to be interesting to see.
I've also got San Jose in six, and I actually do have San Jose winning tonight as well, especially at home. But I think St. Louis will win at home at least once. It wouldn't shock me to see San Jose maybe steal one in St. Louis, but I do think that St. Louis is going to win one game at home. Bennington's going to steal them a game at one point in the series. But I do think it will go 4-2. I would love to see Game 7. I'm hoping for Game 7. Game 7 in every series. But I do think San Jose is going to come away with that one. And like they just have everyone firing, and it's all coming together at the right time. And it's just impressive. And like Logan Couture has found that extra gear. And then like in the last, I can't remember the exact number or the exact stat, but in the last number of years, like the only two players he's behind in goal scoring and playoff goal scoring is Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin. So yeah. It's just like, come on.
That team has so many guys to fall back on. Like, I think Jordan just mentioned to me too, Erik Karlsson does not have a goal yet, which, you know, not a big deal. He's a defenseman anyways.
But he's still racking up points.
Exactly. And like I said, just so many guys to fall back on.
Brent Burns is playing insane minutes.
Yeah, second right now. He's second in the point race in the playoffs as well. So, and I don't see that slowing down anytime soon either. So,
and then you also had to look at the Jumbo Joe driver, because that's clearly been a huge part of this push. Is they are doing it for Jumbo Joe, and he's also a big driver of that team. Like, I know when Joe Pavelski went down in that Game 7 against Vegas, it was Jumbo Joe who was like, "All right, guys, let's go out there and score three right now." For Joe.
And that's the guy.
And then they go out and score four.
And that's the guy, when you got a guy who's a veteran leader like that in the locker room, like, he's the guy that's going to settle the troops down and kind of get them back on their feet when something like that happens. And, I mean, in the playoffs, experience is huge.
Yeah.
And there's no shortage of experience on that team, that's for sure.
And I just love Jumbo Joe.
I'd love to see him win.
Oh, it would be great. It would be great for him, for sure.
Yeah, and I do love the St. Louis story, you know, how they were so bad. For the first half of the year, they were in last place in January, and then really just turned it all around, came together, and then like seeing some of the story, like Pat Maroon scoring that Game 7 OT winner, and, you know, like just like things like that. They've been such a good story all year that I would like to see that continue. But again, Jumbo Joe, this is it. This is his year.
Definitely.
But now switching over to the East, Boston slapped Carolina yesterday. That was kind of a brutal game. Carolina just didn't show up. Loved what Justin Williams said after, though.
Say that,
unbelievable. Yeah. Just, yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to eat a poop sandwich. Doesn't taste good. Got to chew on it.
Sometimes you got to chew on it.
It's like, all right, that's a captain.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that he's going to have to continue to fuel their mindset going forward, because he is an absolute playoff performer.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I just think Boston's too intimidating.
I know. Like, they're so good.
I don't think Carolina has what it takes to take them down.
I think Carolina is like the same kind of thing. I think they're going to steal. Like, I think they're going to win one at home. I think there's just too much energy in Carolina for them to not pull at least one way at home. But like you said, it's just, man, Boston's just looking so good in every facet of the game. Yeah. They're intimidating offensively, and now like their first line guys are rolling. But what makes Boston so good in the playoffs every year, I find, is that they've always got this third line of young grinders who just go out there and battle and find a way to put pucks in the net on top of that. And they just wear down the other team, and they have that line every year, like Corrali and all these guys, Greslick. They're just, and they just roll.
Jake DeBrusk. And Jake DeBrusk, like,
you know,
being an
absolute, and they have those guys every year. And Big Z's looked like a little bit of a liability out there at some points. He's fallen down, I think, more in this playoffs than he has in his entire career before that. But still, just an absolute workhorse. No one wants to go in the corner with him by any means. But Charlie McAvoy, just a stud.
Yeah.
So I think we are all pretty much on a consensus that Boston comes out of this series. But let's say it's a Boston-San Jose final. What do you look at there?
I'd like to see San Jose win, just because of Jumbo Joe against Boston. I think it'd be great. But I don't know.
That's a Game 7 series for me there.
I would have to agree.
And I mean, like, you look at these playoffs so far, and basically once you got those sweeps out of the way early in the playoffs, pretty much it's been like, man, this can go either way.
Yeah.
every series. And I think it's the same thing here. I think, like you said, the Hurricanes at home right now, that could be the difference for them this series. I don't think they're going to take it, but like if they do, we get two at home right now.
It's anyone's series.
Exactly.
Again, it opens wide. It's
just a coin flip at that point.
Yeah.
And if they get that momentum going as well, that's huge in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We'll see what happens.
But I don't think they're going to get swept, personally. They might only win one, but I don't think they're going to get swept. Do you?
I think it could happen.
God, I hope not. I just want as many playoff games as possible.
Me as well, yeah. I want as many game sevens as possible.
Yes, all the game sevens.
That's what we want to see. Yeah.
But, boys, we have passed 10 o'clock, and we do need to go over to Mr. Richard Duggan in the VOCO newsroom. So thank you both so much for joining me in studio tonight, and we'll do it again because we didn't even get to half the topics we were going to cover. So we'll have to do it again sometime soon. But thank you both very much, Jordan Meyer, Jared Lush. Can't thank you enough.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, man. You.
All right. Well, with that, that does bring us to a close. So thank you very much to all who participated tonight, all the callers into the show, Chris Ballard of the Growlers and Sam Prowse as well. Thank you all so much. Couldn't do it without you. And on behalf of producer Mr. Zach Snow, I am your host, Ben Murphy. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and we'll be right back here at the very same time next week to do it all over again. Have a good week.